Lake Effect returns now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have you with us. The Fondy Market at 22nd and Fond du Lac Avenue is one of the Near North Side's success stories. There had been a farmer's market in the area for decades, but about 10 years ago, the market really took off in its present form, thanks in great part to young Kim. Kim has been the executive director of the Fondy Food Center, which runs the farmer's market, since 2003. In that time, the numbers of people served and the food programs the center supports has grown every year. Kim joined me in the studio recently to talk about the success of the Fondy Market, and he began by explaining what's really at stake.
We're talking about choice and restoring choice, and not just Fondy Food Center, but other organizations in Milwaukee, about making more food available so that if someone wants to make something, and it's a vegetable that's often not readily available in their neighborhood, hopefully with our presence and with some other organizations' presences, we are making a difference in people's diets. Now, food is such a loaded cultural, historical subject matter. You know, it's just so complicated. And, you know, every month I'm learning something new about the people who live in Milwaukee, about yogurt, about salt and yogurt, some people liking salt and yogurt, I just learned. So, you know, it's a fascinating topic, and there are just so many ways at it.
Well, what is the need that you're filling specifically for this part of Milwaukee, and why was it started, you know, why was the Fondy Market started in Central City?
Well, the market actually dates back to 1917, back at the Center Street Haymarket. There was a big company in town called the Milwaukee Chair Company that started a farmer's market at 35th and Center, and the city moved it to the current location on Fond du Lac in the 1980s. Will Allen was involved in the early iterations of the Fondy Farmer's Market, the Hunger Task Force was, and in 2003 we spun off to form our own 501c3. It's about providing locally grown food. I like to say tomatoes and corn picked by Headlight the night before, and brought by small farmers who really care about their customers to a part of the city where there is a lot of need for fresh, locally grown produce and not a lot of places to buy it.
In the 10 years that you've been doing this, how long did it take you to connect with that target audience that you're trying to reach?
Well, I came at it from a social service background. I mean, I worked in Seattle with a homeless population for a long time. Coming to Milwaukee, I think my approach was more of a kind of a social service-oriented kind of approach where I had to provide things for people, do things for people. In the 10 years or so that I've been at Fondy, I've learned that there are just so many strengths in the community that don't get recognized.
Like what?
The skill with cooking. There's a commonly held belief out there that people in Central City, Milwaukee, don't know how to cook, when the reality is cooking for other people was one of the few avenues of employment. As I've gotten to know folks, there are some incredibly opinionated people about food. You know, you ask someone how to cook collard greens, you'll get, you know, ask 10 people, you got 10 different answers. Ask someone for the recipe, and they will tell you the recipe begrudgingly and then leave out some key ingredient. And then when I go back to them, I say, you know, that didn't taste the same. And they'll tell you, that's because I left out the secret ingredient. And I'm not telling you because you're not family. So, you know, it's a very opinionated food culture. People take a lot of pride in their recipes. And there are just stories that I learn week after week about what collard greens mean to a certain family. Or I watch a grandmother shopping at the farmer's market with her granddaughter, teaching her how to pick collard greens and how to wash them. I've learned that, you know, one adaptation that a lot of the folks in Milwaukee have done, collard greens are a staple for soul food cooking. And collard greens, unfortunately, because this is Wisconsin, it only grows from May to maybe November. So what people have done is they've adapted. They'll buy garbage bags full of collard greens, and they'll have blanching parties at home.
Has the market brought people to that part of Milwaukee who otherwise might give it a wide berth? Has that been another thing that you've seen happen?
Yeah. Early on, the website, if you were to go look at it, the early version, it was all about hunger, food insecurity, people don't have vegetables, blah, blah, blah. That's not really an enticing way to get people to your farmer's market. So about 5-6 years ago, we said, you know, let's just ditch this food insecurity language and just try to build the best darn farmer's market in Milwaukee. And I think in a lot of ways we're on our way to doing that. We do a lot of programming around food. We have cooking contests. We have a lot of cultural events, arts. You know, a farmer's market is more than just a place to get food. It's a place to reconnect with a high school classmate that you haven't seen in a year. It's a place for you to learn how to shop for collard greens with your grandmother. And it's a place to be seen.
I would also think it would be a place to go to learn about foods that you didn't know about before. I imagine there are any number of fruits and vegetables that are at the market that people could go and learn about that they might not see at Roundy's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there are some things, some market niches that our farmers market is able to hit because we are on the small scale that we are. One example are sweet potato greens. Not the sweet potato, but the greens. Braising those greens is extremely popular in the African emigre population here in Milwaukee. And about 4 years ago, one customer walked up and said, I'm looking for sweet potato greens. He said that to a farmer, and the farmer said, you mean sweet potatoes? And the guy said, no, the greens. So the next weekend, he brought the greens. All the other farmers watched as those seemingly worthless sweet potato greens were just being snapped up. And then the following season, everybody had sweet potato greens. But that's something that's a small market niche that a Roundy's or a Kroger won't be able to fill.
It also sounds like, along with providing very fresh fruits and vegetables to anyone who wants to shop there, it sounds like education has been a key component in your mission as well, whether it's, you know, teaching people how to do things through family passing down, like that grandmother and granddaughter example. But it sounds like you have more formal things too.
We have had more formal things in the past. I think that where we're going is more neighbor-to-neighbor sharing. It's one thing for me out of my kind of middle-class Asian-American background with my kitchen, and, you know, I like my kitchen set up a certain way. I have certain pots and pans. I have a certain reality of what I can cook and what I can't cook. And so for another family, say living on the north side of Milwaukee, that reality might be different. So I really think that the key to nutrition education in the future, at least for our agency, will be kind of a neighbor-to-neighbor sharing of recipes and cooking techniques, and to really bring the neighborhood knowledge to the forefront as opposed to bringing some expert in to teach recipes.
But do you see Fondy's role in this as the place where people come to do
yes.
that sharing?
Okay. Facilitating. Yes. I'm not forcing things to happen. I'm not making things happen. And you know, the conversation around soul food, it's a very loaded, complicated issue. You know, soul food is it's got so much heritage and meaning, and but I in my opinion, it needs some updating. And that conversation is happening right now in the community. How do we hang on to our cultural past while adapting these recipes to a more sedentary lifestyle?
Yes, and also I would think unpacking some of the negative baggage that has gone along with that, you know, the food of the colonized.
Mm-hmm. It's so loaded.
Yeah. How do you get around that? I mean, what kind of strategies does Fondy use to try to get people to have that conversation without it being so loaded?
Well, it's going to be loaded however you talk about
it. Just embrace the loadedness?
Yeah. We have events. We have something called our Greens Throwdown every year, and collard greens are a staple, you know, and we have two categories, traditional and non-traditional. The non-traditional folks, when I talk to them, typically they've had a health issue or they have a relative who came down with diabetes and just can't eat salt and pork fat, you know, like it's traditionally made. And so they've gone to other spices. They've started exploring spices from the Caribbean, and it's that kind of creativity that makes food so interesting and such a moving target. When we're talking about food and, you know, in New York City, there's talk about outlawing the sale of, say, sodas and unhealthy foods with food stamps. You know, healthy food is not like seatbelts. You know, when you talk about grandma, you don't talk about how she put on her seatbelt. You're talking about her recipes and what she did in the kitchen and how she made the stuff. Seatbelts or bicycle helmets or motorcycle helmets or, you know, it's not as loaded as food. It's not as simple as banning something and saying we're making a difference.
In the 10 years that you have been spun off into your own 501(c)(3), have you seen a broader change occur in Milwaukee in general and then Central City specifically? I mean, has Fondy Market spurred a change in attitudes and awareness in how people approach food and how they're willing or not to share?
Quite honestly, the change has been in me. You know, I used the term food desert quite freely early on. That's a term that I don't use anymore, partly because I was a volunteer at an organization and they went through a strategic planning process. And that strategic plan, you know, everyone's gone through that where you sit in a room and you're just climbing the walls. It was a different process for strategic planning called appreciative inquiry. That process had us look at what was working as opposed to looking at the problems. The facilitator said, let's look at the success stories and let's try to make more success stories. And that blew me away. And so I went back to work and I thought, okay, how am I looking at this neighborhood? Can I take a big U-turn and start to look for what's working? Can I train my eyes to really look for what's working? What can I really build on as opposed to forcing change on people? And so I think that's been the key. We have seen our numbers go up and up every year. Food stamp sales at our market topped 41,000 this year, which is puts us, I think, about number five in the country. There is just such an engagement around food right now in the community.
Well, Young, I want to thank you so much for coming down and talking with us today. And congratulations on 10 years.
Thank you.
Here's to another 10, 20,
yeah,
30.
Yeah.
And it's been great talking with you.
Thank you.
Young Kim has been the executive director of the Fondy Food Center since 2003. There is a link to more information about the center, the Fondy Farmers Market, and more from wuwm.com/lake effect. We'll take one last break, and then coming up next, a new novel explores the hidden and devastating world of human trafficking. We'll talk with author Roberta Gately next when Lake Effect returns.